Romans chapter 12. We're going to be in a series for the next 6 weeks. Amen? Let me tell you what it's about. There is a misunderstanding or conception of what the church is. Or maybe in a better way, why the church is important or is so exceedingly valuable. It's not a building. It's not this edifice. This would be like the house that we serve God in, but it's not the church. In order to understand that concept, you really need to get a simple definition of what the church is. Let me see if I can give you a couple. Number one, the church are those believers, is made up of those believers who covenant together as the body of Christ. So you are the church. Amen? Another more theological definition from the word ecclesia, which is the word translated church, 110 times in the New Testament, the word church is found, and it's translated from that Greek word ekklesia. The word ekklesia means a called out assembly. Now, there are several times that the word church is translated, but it refers to the great body of believers, referred to in two ways. Number one, as a universal church. Maybe you've heard that before. Or, as some use, the invisible church. Now, by invisible, we don't mean they don't exist or you can't see them, but it means that they're not assembled totally together in one area. So the invisible church would be people who are saved across the globe. Though we aren't assembled with them, they are still part of the greater body of believers, the church. So it's a called out assembly on a broad scale. By the way, it will be completed in heaven. Amen? And we'll all be there. The assembly of the saints. But 104 times it refers to the New Testament church or the local church. The local church is the body of believers in a particular area for the service of God in that community. So we have two pictures of the church, the broader picture, the greater picture, the body of Christ, the universal church. The second picture is the body of Christ, the local church, a called out assembly, having New Testament officers practicing New Testament ordinances and who carry out the Great Commission. That's a church. That's a local church. That's the body of believers, the greater body. That's the universal church. We have one primary responsibility. Listen to this very carefully. Why is the church so important? Listen to this. Because God has left it here to reveal His Son to the world. Even as Jesus revealed God when He was on the earth. Now, if you miss that concept, you will miss the meaning of church. John 1:18 says this, that Christ was the one who came to reveal the Father. The only beloved who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. That word declared means to put to view or to put out before. No man prior to Christ coming to earth in a body had ever seen God. No man. When Jesus showed up and took upon himself that form, humanity, he became a man. He was very God, yes, but he was also very man, absolutely. And in that body, he revealed the God that no man had ever seen. He did what God asked. He served God with his life and ministry. He showed God to those who had a need. He revealed the power of God. He was the embodiment in human form of the God that no man had ever seen, all God's people said. Now, Jesus left the earth in his body. It's called the ascension. He ascended up into heaven in a bodily form. This same Jesus, the angel said to the disciples, which is one up, gone up into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. He'll come back in a body. But what does he do? What must he do? What will he do between the time that he ascended in a body and the time he comes back in that same body? What does he do? He gives the world a body. And the body is called the church. That is one of the most significant connections to Christ that we have. And in Romans chapter 12, if you're there, verses 4 and 5, the Bible says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office or service area, so we being many, many individuals, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another." If you read the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he talks there, Paul does, about the body. If all were the eye, then where would the rest of the body be? If all were the hand, what would the rest of the body do? If all were the toe, what would the rest of the body do? If you think about it, we are the living revelation of Christ in the local New Testament church. Once you get saved and you become part of the church, you are part of the body. And the import is raised to a heightened level way beyond just saying you're saved. People say, "I'm saved, that's all that matters." That's not true. That's all that matters to get you to heaven, but that's not all that matters. If you're saved and you follow through biblically, you join the church, you become part of that body that reflects Christ to the community. They can only see Christ through the local New Testament or greater body of believers. That's how they see Christ. So when you're walking around out in your neighborhood, you don't stop being part of the body. You don't exist as part of the body only when we come together. You're part of the body wherever you are. Once you come to Christ and become a member of the body, once you that happens, you cannot cease to be part of the body. My hand doesn't wake up in the morning and say, I'm quitting. I'm not going to be part of this body anymore. I'm glad it can't chop itself off. Amen? My legs don't wake up in the morning and say, I'm not going to be part of the body. I tell you, there are times when my legs feel like they're not part of my body, but the fact is, they don't choose that because they're connected. Everyone here is connected. People today are crying out, where can I find hope? The body. And if we are a reflection of Christ, then people are going to begin to say, where do I get that? How do I have that? We're the body. Why is the church important? Because we are the body of Christ. We are, I wrote this down, we are the current expression of Jesus in the world until he comes. That's an incredible statement. Not because I wrote it, but it's an incredible statement. We are the current expression of Jesus in the world until he comes. He left us here, listen to this statement, he left us here to finish his work as his body. He left us here to finish his work as his body. I was reading an article. The gentleman that was writing the article happens to be part of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. You may know the former pastor, now he's the head of the seminary, Dr. John Piper. This gentleman wrote, when Christ entered our world, he took on a physical body prepared for him. John 1:14. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen? Through his physical body, Jesus demonstrated the love of God clearly, tangibly, and bodily, especially through his sacrificial death on the cross. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. After his bodily resurrection, listen very carefully, Christ continued his work in the world through those he has redeemed. The church now demonstrates the love of God clearly, tangibly, and bodily. In this way, the church functions as the body of Christ. You are the body. What an incredible connection we have with Christ. Why is the church important? We are his body. Number two, in what way are we the body? Well, number one, it's not literal. Christ didn't take off his body and robe 500 million people in it. That's not what it means. It's a spiritual connection. And in a very real way, as the pillar and ground of the truth, we carry the truth of Christ around the world. And when people see us, they should see Jesus. We are a reflection of him as the body of Christ. In what way are we his body? We are the body of Christ because, number one, we are spiritually and figuratively so. Number two, we are in union with him. We are in union with him. Do you know, once you get saved, you unite with Christ, all God's people said. That's a great thought. Let me give you five ways that happens. Number one, we are joined with Christ in salvation. Ephesians chapter 4, 15 and 16. We are joined with Christ in salvation. Number two, we follow Christ as our head. All God's people said. Try to go somewhere and leave your head at home. Huh? Try to go somewhere without your head. Now, my head sometimes wants to go some places. My body just says, are you nuts? Not too long ago, my wife and I were with our grandkids, and they're very athletic. They love to be outside and do things. We were out by the Lake Michigan, looks like the ocean. And you can actually go down on the beach and walk out to the lake. Now, the down to the beach part is not for me. The out to the beach part would be all right. A down to the beach part is not a good thing, because you have to climb down about 12 feet in rocks, and it's kind of like this, and you got to turn around sometimes. Other times you have to go down straight. And I'm telling you, I finally got down there, walked out to the lake, stood out there for a while, decided to walk back, and couldn't get back up. I was going to live on Lake Michigan the rest of my life. There was no way to get back up. Well, I could see the way. My head was positive that I should just climb right up there. My body was saying, you've lost your ever-loving mind. Are you nuts? Well, and another thing is, I don't like getting dirty. I don't like that. And so I finally got up. It looked like I had crossed across a muddy desert for 3 days by the time I got up. I was caked with dirt, but I made it up. I didn't say I got up, I made it up. I'm laying now flat on the ground on top of that area that I crawled up, and I was saying, I've fallen and I can't get up. It was painful. My mind said, get up. My body said, I am done. So my son-in-law and my two grandsons came and hauled me up and laughed the whole time. There was no concern. Just a sarcastic laughter. And they said something like, Nana's not going to let you sit in the car like that. But I made it. I made it. I don't know what the point of that illustration was, but it was fun telling you it. We follow Christ as the head. Number three, we are the physical representation of Christ in our world. That is an incredible standard position when we use the phrase the body of Christ. We are the representation physically of Christ in the world. Number four, we are part of the whole. We together are the body of Christ. Part of the whole. An individual is not the body of Christ. He's part of the body of Christ. That's why a person says, I don't need church to worship. Well, I would agree with that, but that's not what they mean by I don't need church. It means I can watch TV and watch some evangelists on TV and get as much out of that as I do get out of church. No, you cannot. You cannot. You're part of the body. Don't you rob me of the joy of having you as part of my body that Christ gave us. Don't you rob one another of that. Don't you dare do it. You are part of the body. Then there's one third thing. If we are his body, if that's true, what should we do? Let me give you just three things. Number one. And when I say body, I want you to be very clear on this. Salem Baptist Church. I'm not talking about anybody else. I'm talking about us. Amen? Well, we're not as important, Pastor. We're small, just a few people. We're not like those big churches. We are exactly. We're body. We are the body of Christ. Salem Baptist Church is Christ's body. Amen. If we are his body, what then must we do? Number one, we are to example his life before others. What was Jesus like? I know, he found the people that could further his ministry financially, exponentially, and he spent a lot of time with those folks. No. The only rich guy's house I remember him going to was a little man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief of publicans. He had tons of dough, all taken illegally. And he said, I'm going to restore. When Jesus showed up, Jesus said, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house. He meant Christ. Zacchaeus broken about who he really was. The presence of Christ would do that to people. Who's the body? We are. You're reflecting Christ. They're going to look at you and say, why? How? Zacchaeus said, I'll pay back fivefold. Jesus went there. He was a rich man. When he left, Zacchaeus, poor as he was. But he is rich in Christ. He went to the poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind, the drunkard, the sinner. He once had a lady drug in front of him who was a harlot, a prostitute. Jesus, this is what the church, many churches would do. Take her out of my sight. Christ reached down and wrote in the sand. I think he wrote all their names. I'm not sure. They were condemning that woman. You know, does your mind ask the question, why was that woman forgiven? Or does your mind ask the question, what were they doing there when they found her in that condition? That's what my mind asks. What were all those righteous guys doing hanging around a brothel? Just a thought. They brought her in, threw her to the ground, and he said, those of you that are without sin, cast your stones. They dropped them one by one. When they had cleared out, Jesus looked down to this woman and said, where are thine accusers? They're not here. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And that precious woman, regardless of her pre-salvation state, that woman was precious, needed Jesus, and Christ met her at her place of need, and she came to him. Folks, we need to meet people like Jesus would at their place of need. We are to example as life. Number two, we are to seek. Jesus said, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. I didn't come to call the righteous to repentance, those that are so self-righteous, they act like they've never done a wrong thing. We are to seek the salvation of others. We bring salvation to people into today's age when they're just encumbered with every kind of thing in the world. My son bought me a new watch. It's a Mickey watch.
It's 12:07. Good afternoon.
It talks to me. When my wife won't, I just... I feel better about myself already. It can tell me what my heart rate is. It can take an EKG. I don't even know what that means. But it takes one. It tells me every hour to get up and walk around. I don't like that. Comes with a watch. If I fall, it will call 911 if I can't get up. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, the world has those kind of things at their fingertip, but one thing they can't ever get a hold of, they can't grasp, they can't pull it to themselves, is how can I have peace in my life? And the answer is Jesus. It's Jesus. We are to example his life. We are to seek and to save salvation of others. Then listen to this. In fact, turn to Ephesians chapter 3. I want to read you a verse that sometimes we've read, we all have read, but we haven't quite got the gist of what it's talking about. Ephesians chapter 3. Three through six. Paul's talking about his responsibility as an apostle and the things that God had revealed to him. And he says, how that by revelation or by what God revealed, he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in a few words. The mystery. Well, something was hidden in the Old Testament, it was revealed in the New. Whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in this mystery, which in other ages, the Old Testament, was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Here it is. Here's the mystery. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same what? body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Here's the third thing we must do if we are his body. We are to fervently seek to represent and express the diversity of the body. The diversity of the body. In two ways. Number one, gifts. Romans 12, 4 through 8. There's a diversity of gifts. Amen? Amen. Everyone has a different one, has one in particular. And they should be expressed on a regular basis in the body. And that's usually expressed by God putting on your heart something that God wants you to do. And if you don't do it, you fail to express your gift. Amen? But this verse is not talking about that. This verse is talking about something else, that the church has flat out failed even in this era. Certainly in the last 300 or 400, 500, 600 years, we've failed to understand this verse. And if we would have understood this verse, we would not have some of the major problems we have, not just as a church, but as a society. What are you talking about, Pastor? Well, it says here that the Gentiles, not the Jews, the Gentiles. What does that word Gentiles mean? It means people that aren't Jews. No, it means far more than that. Far more than that. It means any other race, creed, tribe, nation that is not Jewish. And it's not just white non-Jewish. If it's any other people, any other nation, any other tribe, then color has no measure here. I have never, as long as I've been a preacher, believed in white churches and black churches. I haven't. I'm sorry. You may. I don't. I believe in the church. And this says, made up of all kinds of folks. It's called diversity. Amen? Acts 20 says, God hath made of one blood all nations that dwell upon the earth. You know, in World War I and II, when they needed blood transfusions, that white folks would not take blood from black folks because they were fearful that blood would hurt them. What nonsense! You don't want to get me on this. And I'm not telling you my opinion. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. He's made of one nation, one blood, all nations that dwell upon the earth. And then since these Gentiles weren't Jews, they were every other kind of person. Then God has supernaturally decided that anyone, no matter who they are, if they're not Jewish, they're good for the church. They can become part of the church. They are equal in membership. They are not secondary. They have all the same options, opportunities, and blessings that everybody else in the church has. All God's people said. And I say shame on the church that wants to make it something other than what it is. Now you can put that in your pipe and smoke it. But we better decide if we're going to be the body of Christ, that it doesn't matter who we're representing to others. or who others we are representing. We go to them because they need Christ. That's the one factor that divides the church from the world, the need of Christ. Once they come to Christ, we're good to go. All God's people said. Amen. Well, we are the body. I didn't mean to get so worked up, but we are the body. And we need to function biblically according to the scripture. Let me give you the rest of the sermons. Number one, its importance. We just did that. Number two, the church, its distinctives. Number three, the church, its organization. Number four, the church, its service. And I have three sermons under its service. Number one, we are worshipers. We love, pray, and sing. Number two, we are community. Listen to this. We are community. We show up, fellowship, and give. Well, that's going to be a fun sermon. All God's people said, oh my. Number three, we are responsible. We care, we restore, we disciple. Amen? Don't miss this series. It's essential for every single one of us here. All God's people said, amen. Let's stand together and let's be dismissed with our verse that we quote. Numbers 6, 24 through 26, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. All God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. That was powerful, Pastor. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
God, that was so good.
Oh, boy.
Yes, yes. This month has been Pastor Appreciation Month. Amen.